Welcome back to another episode of the Depot Dive, where your hosts, Joe Clark above me here on the screen, and myself, Ross McCorkle, are going to deep dive into the biggest Steelers-related topics of the week. Before we dive into today's episode, I just wanted to take a moment to... It's a special day here at Steelers Depot. As Dave Bryan let us know in the chat this morning, Steelers Depot is now old enough to drive. I believe this is the 16th anniversary of Steelers Depot launching. So happy birthday to the website. Pretty awesome to kind of reflect on, you know, where the site came from, where it's at now. I remember being it was either junior high or early high school. And I would just type in Steelers into Google. I'd hit that news button and I would scroll through and pretty much read any article I could find back then. And that's how I kind of got turned on to Steelers Depot back at the time. Fast forward to 2020, got the opportunity to work in a part-time capacity, and now I'm 5 months in full-time. I think, Joe, what, you're at 2 years here full-time or something?
Almost 2 years. Yeah, like since full-time, it was July 2022, so I'll be 2 years full-time this July.
Awesome. Well, great day here for the site, and I'm sure Dave will be posting some stuff on Twitter to kind of reminisce on the last 16 years, so tune into that. But diving into our first topic here, as you can see on the screen, it seems like, at least, that the 30 visits, or the 30-plus visits, if you include the local prospects that don't count against the limit, are now kind of fully locked in. I believe we are up to 30. I think we even have 31 on our tracker on the site due to, you know, sometimes these guys get reported and then the report doesn't get corroborated and then you end up with more than 30 visits. I think we've narrowed it down to Georgia wide receiver Ladd McConkey as the potential guy who didn't actually visit with the team, although there is some question regarding Travis Clayton, who came in as a international pathway program visit. And whether or not he counts against that 30-visit limit. If he does count, then McConkey's probably the guy who didn't visit. And of course, if he doesn't, then McConkey did probably come in. So just some high-level observations here on who all came in for these pre-draft visits. The list, if you include McConkey, is up to 7 wide receivers, 8 offensive tackles, 6 interior offensive linemen, 6 defensive linemen, 2 inside linebackers, which we'll talk about here in a bit. I found that pretty interesting. And then 7 defensive backs, mostly corners. Though Cooper DeJean, some teams do view him as kind of safety capable. So what is, I guess, just looking at that list, looking at the Steelers' positions of need, what are your kind of observations or high-level things that you notice from that list?
I mean, yeah, I think they did kind of what we thought they were going to do, right? Like, brought in a lot of cornerbacks. They brought in a lot of offensive linemen, centers, offensive tackles. They brought in a lot of D linemen, brought in a lot of receivers. Those are positions, you know, those 4 are kind of the ones we've really targeted as the positions they kind of have to address in the draft. Of the players that they brought in, I thought it was kind of interesting, too. They brought in, obviously, the top 3 centers, and they brought in Hunter Norzad, who, if they don't take a center in the first round or miss on a center, guy they want, let's say Grant Barton goes before, they don't want to take Frazier or Power Johnson at 20. Maybe Norzad's a fallback option. For the D linemen, they brought in a lot of, you know, some of those middle round guys. Christian Boyd could go 3rd, 4th, 5th. Mason Smith, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. Logan Lee, probably early day 3. Jaden Cromedy, probably a day 3 pick. So they kind of targeted, you know, those areas where those positions that they might not take in the first round, they can get some depth, you know, a little bit later. Cornerback, they brought in a lot of slot guys. They brought in Andrew Phillips. They brought in Daquan Hardy, Beanie Bishop from West Virginia, who was super productive last season. Maybe a later round slot option, as we've talked about, potentially doubling up on cornerback. You know, those are kind of the guys you look at as, oh, if they take, you know, Nate Wiggins, or even if they take Phillips in the second, they could take somebody later. So I thought it was really interesting. The one name that, you know, kind of surprised me is one that we probably haven't heard a lot about throughout the process at all, Stephen Jones out of Oregon. I believe he got brought in for that visit after Pat Meyer attended the Oregon Pro Day. So maybe he showed something there that, you know, the Steelers liked. Because he's not a guy that hasn't gotten a lot of draft buzz. Obviously, he's a bigger dude. His RAS score wasn't that high, partially because of that. But, you know, as a later 7th round UDFA option, I thought that was probably the most interesting name on the list is one that like was a little bit off the beaten path because everyone else you can kind of identify based off their pre-draft positional interest, stuff like that. But that was the one that kind of stood out to me as a little bit of a surprise and maybe a name to watch as we get into the sixth round of the draft or as UDFA signing starts to trickle in. But overall, I was really happy with the list. I was really happy with the guys they targeted, specifically the positions they targeted. They're going to take care of what they need to take care of, I think. And having this baseline of knowledge on these 30 plus players is going to be very helpful when it comes to, filling out their board and deciding who to take a week from today.
Yeah, and I think our Alex Cazzora did the draft profile on Stephen Jones. He had him pegged as kind of a sixth or seventh round guy. His NFL comp for him is somebody familiar to us all. That's Nate Herbig. It's just kind of a big-bodied mauler type at the guard position or interior offensive line. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's likely they probably saw him at that Oregon Pro Day when they were looking at Jackson Powers Johnson and maybe intrigued by him a little bit. Somebody in play kind of late in the draft potentially. It's hard to, the top three, four rounds, kind of feels like there is a blueprint that the Steelers are going to follow. Maybe a couple surprises in there, but once you get into those late rounds, it's anybody's guess what could happen. And so he could certainly be in play. The Steelers sure made us wait to bring in a lot of these center prospects. I think everybody was expecting when are the Steelers going to bring in these centers? And of course, now they have bringing in Norzad, Barton, Powers Johnson, Frazier. A couple of these guys are very much in play for the Steelers' first round or potentially second round pick. It seems like a lot of the buzz recently has been around Graham Barton. There's also been some people talking about Zach Frazier as a slam dunk kind of first round guy. I mean, this is the time of year where people are rising up draft boards or falling down draft boards. And in reality, a lot of these NFL teams, have had whatever opinion they have on these players for a while. Obviously, the pre-draft visits are now in the book, so maybe some of the character stuff is moving guys up or down. But it is interesting to see kind of some of these names that end up shooting up the kind of draft media zeitgeist mock drafts here in the last few days before the draft. I did want to talk about the inside linebacker situation with the pre-draft visits. They brought in NC State's Peyton Wilson and Michigan's Junior Colson kind of towards the end of this process, and we've had an inkling that the Steelers are going to address this position for some time. I think it was Khan maybe talked about that at the combine, that they weren't done looking at that position. Obviously, they brought in Patrick Queen in free agency. They brought in they didn't bring anybody else, but Patrick Queen was such a big acquisition that some thought that the position was going to be done being addressed. But it does look like with Aaron Curry, the inside linebackers coach, visiting multiple pro days, that's typically a signal that the Steelers are going to address that position. But the names that they brought in are a little interesting to me because those are two of, if not the top two, inside linebacker options in the whole draft. Peyton Wilson won the Defensive Player of the Year and the Linebacker of the Year in college football last year. Junior Colson's been a guy that people are talking about as possibly the first inside linebacker off the board. So what do you make of those particular guys coming in for visits?
Yeah, the names are definitely very interesting for that reason. I thought maybe they'd go. I know Sid Gray is probably a top three or four inside linebacker in that class, but Curry was at his pro day. I thought maybe he's a guy they bring in that is maybe an option in your second, third round pick or in the fourth round. But they brought in Wilson and Colson, who, like you said, are considered the top two inside linebackers in the draft. Daniel Jeremiah said yesterday Colson could be a sleeper name to be drafted in the first round. Obviously, goes in the first round, that's going to eliminate him from contention for the Steelers. So the way I see these two visits is that A, they're building information for the future. I mean, the Steelers have been a mess at inside linebacker since Ryan Shazier's injury, hit and miss in free agency at the position. So maybe this is kind of, not necessarily an evolution, but it's part of their scouting process now. Hey, we get to know these guys now. 3, 4 years down the line, they become available. 4 years down the line, if they go, whatever, they become available. Then, hey, we have more information on them. We can make more informed decisions on the inside linebackers we're targeting. Then the other part is if they fall. Let's say Wilson or Colson makes it to the third. So you also have two third round picks. Maybe they decide, hey, let's grab another very talented inside linebacker here, because right now they have Queen, they have Landon Roberts, Cole Holcomb's injury status. We don't really know when he's going to be ready. And then it's like Mark Robinson. It's that caliber of player. So maybe they grab another guy who you can slot in. Maybe he's your two. Maybe he's your three if it's Wilson or Colson. If Holcomb comes back, then great. You have added depth. Last year, they signed Roberts. They signed Holcomb. And they brought in Quan Alexander. So I think, you know, under Omar Khan, he's talked a ton about just adding as much competition as possible. And adding another inside linebacker, you know, Landon Roberts was great last year. He's not getting any younger. You add another guy that, you know, can come in and make an impact in the third round, like a Wilson or a Colson could, and then all of a sudden your room's just that much better, and you're a lot deeper too. So you suffer out of God. Let's hope they don't suffer the catastrophic injury they suffered last season out of the position. But let's say Roberts gets dinged. He got dug a couple times last year. He's tough as nails. He played through a bunch of injuries. Let's say he gets dinged up. Now you can afford him. Hey, you can sit a game or two, and we can bring a guy in. So I don't think they're going to target the position in the top two rounds. I think Wilson and Colson are probably more likely to go in the second, but if they do fall, I think it's good that the Steelers now, you know, have them in and have that, you know, baseline of knowledge of what these guys can do, what they can bring in, and maybe they'll be considered for an earlier pick than we expect, and they could go with one of Pittsburgh's two third-round picks. So I wasn't totally surprised that they brought guys in at inside linebacker. It was just kind of like you said, those two names are the top two guys in the class. So definitely pretty interesting to see that they're looking – you know, at a higher tier than maybe we initially thought.
Yeah, and Peyton Wilson, I suppose he could potentially fall into the third round. I mean, his talent level is probably beyond that, but he did have the extensive injury history. I think he's been healthy the last 2 years, but he had a high school knee. He had another college knee. I think he had a shoulder in there somewhere. So, you know, that could raise flags for certain teams or take him off certain teams' boards. From what he told me at the combine, his medicals checked out very well. He didn't get poked or prodded a whole lot by the doctors there. So I don't think he'll last, but it would be, I would love the pick if he lasted until the third round and they could get another highly athletic, every down kind of guy at linebacker. Moving into our second topic, Aditi Kinkabwala. What show did she appear on? Was that one of the fans?
Yeah, it was the PM team yesterday.
The PM team on 93.7, the Fan yesterday, and just was talking about the potential of the Steelers taking a quarterback in this draft. Obviously, they have Russell Wilson. They've got Justin Fields, both of those guys on one-year deals right now. And then they also have Kyle Allen. I believe he's also on just a one-year deal. So beyond the 2024 season, the Steelers have zero quarterbacks under contract. And so this is kind of an interesting point by Kinkabwala. She was saying that Tom Arth, the new quarterback coach who was the pass game coordinator for the Chargers the last two seasons, I believe, has been doing his due diligence this draft process. I believe we have him down at the South Alabama Pro Day as his lone stop. Not to say he couldn't have been at other places. That's just where we spotted him. South Alabama is the home of Carter Bradley, former, I believe, Toledo, before he was at South Alabama. He was at the Senior Bowl. The Senior Bowl is hosted at South Alabama Stadium, so they usually have a couple players there. He had an okay week there. I think he's more of a seventh round or potentially priority free agent type of guy. But what do you make of, I mean, do you think the Steelers go after a quarterback this draft?
It's tough. It's a tough thing to envision just because of all the holes that they have to fill on the roster. But we do know they bring four quarterbacks into camp. Art Rooney confirmed earlier this offseason they're going to bring four quarterbacks into camp. So maybe with one of those six-round picks, if they like a guy like Bradley enough, or what's another name? Maybe Austin Reed from Western Kentucky, if he makes it there. You have Sam Hartman, which even Reed and Hartman could even probably go higher than where I would envision the Steelers taking quarterback is the sixth round. I can't see them doing it any higher. But even then, I mean, personally, with how they've managed that fourth quarterback in the past, last year was Tanner Morgan. It's not a guy that usually gets a ton of reps. So if you're going to spend a draft pick on that quarterback, then maybe you do give him more reps this year and have him compete with Kyle Allen for that number three job. And maybe he's a guy that you think you can maybe groom and develop into even like a solid backup long term for whether it be Fields or Wilson. I mean, Wilson's going to be 36 this year. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that they bring in another younger quarterback. But Just with, I mean, we've talked about cornerback. Like, I would rather see them double up a cornerback or wide receiver than draft a quarterback. But it's definitely a possibility if they want to bring that fourth guy, one of those 6-round picks. And like we said, they did their homework. They went and scouted Bradley at South Alabama, and it's definitely something that they could do. It's tough to really wrap your head around it just because they have three, fairly established guys. Like, I think Kyle Allen is a very good number three quarterback right now. But if somebody really catches their eye and they think they can compete and be a better long-term option, because even though Kyle Allen is a very good number three quarterback, you don't want your number three quarterback to have to play at all. So if you get more of a developmental guy for that role, then it could make sense. It was a little bit of a surprise to hear that that was like the one tidbit that she dropped about the Steelers, was that, yeah, they're doing their homework on quarterbacks and they're not done at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I agree. Another name I'd throw in there is FSU's Jordan Travis. He's an option. Obviously, he had that injury last season, hasn't been able to do much of the pre-draft process. I think he said he's projected to be ready to go by the time training camp starts, which is good for him. But he has a little, maybe a little higher upside than some of these other late round quarterbacks. Sam Hartman, he had a really rough week there at the Senior Bowl, particularly in the actual game itself. It was very rough. Another guy who's kind of a late round potential is Joe Milton III out of Tennessee. He's a traits guy. Again, he struggled a lot at the Senior Bowl. He has a huge arm. I think some of those videos have circulated on social media of him throwing the ball 70 something yards down the field. So he has some of the traits. He's athletic, but just kind of the routine stuff that comes with playing quarterback, maybe not so much. So yeah, I could see them maybe going with one of these guys if they like their potential in the late rounds to compete with Kyle Allen for the QB3 spot. And give depending on what happens next year with Wilson and Fields potentially becoming a number two option, they are going to need somebody in the next couple of years to be a long-term kind of backup for the team. There's also that guy they brought in for a workout not that long ago, Gannon's Corey Curtis. I don't think he's signed anywhere yet. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is two off seasons in a row that they've shown interest in him, I believe. And so he's another kind of big-bodied guy that maybe could come in and compete. They usually bring in four quarterbacks into training camp, so they will need a fourth. Whether that comes via the draft or that somebody like Corey Curtis remains to be seen. Moving into our third topic, just this morning, actually it was yesterday that the radio hit occurred, but we wrote up two articles this morning on Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Steelers insider Jerry Dulac, some opinions that he holds from a radio appearance on a local Pittsburgh radio station last night. One of those was just talking about how center is the biggest need. I don't think that that's really arguable. Obviously, tackle, there's some other pressing needs, but center is the one position they do not have a guy that is the obvious option right now. And so that wasn't the hot kind of topic there with his conversation. His opinion is that Graham Barton, the Duke offensive lineman who played tackle the last 3 years, played center in 2020 as a rookie, will be the Steelers' first round pick as a center. So, Joe, what do you think about that?
I think it makes sense given, all the talk around the center class has fluctuated so much about where guys are going to go. But I think, a week away from the draft is really where you can kind of look at where things really are and kind of take stock in that, outside of something, wildly crazy happening in the next week. But Barton is pretty much a surefire first round pick, I think, at this point. And then you look at Zach Frazier. There's been a lot of buzz between him and the Lions at number 29. Daniel Jeremiah said in his conference call yesterday that that's where you can kind of see Frazier landing. Peter Schrager mocked Frazier to the Lions based off conversations he's had with people around the league. And the Steelers need a center. They want a plug and play guy that can come in immediately. I know Omar Khan's like, well, we have Nate Herbig. We have Nate Herbig. I don't know how you can go into the season trusting Nate Herbig as your starting center. Love Nate Herbig. Don't think you should be a starting center in the league. So, given that, and I know, positional value, maybe take an offensive tackle, it's a more valuable position. But for the Steelers right now, they need a center. And we saw the struggles of Mason Cole last year. And the center is kind of a leader, the anchor of your offensive line. So it doesn't surprise me at all that, Dulac thinks that Barton could be that guy. He's super physical, super athletic, somebody that can really come in and make an impact right off the bat. And I would not be surprised if he is the guy at number 20 at all. Obviously, you know, it might be tough to pass on a tackle. Let's say Amarius Mims is there, but Mims isn't going to play immediately for you anyway. So you're kind of like, well, yeah, you take a tackle, you can replace Dan Moore, but Mims isn't going to come in and start and replace Dan Moore until at least probably, I mean, Broderick Jones is week 9 last year. Mims probably right around the same area, week 9, week 10. So come take that center that can come play immediately, and then maybe a tackle for us here in the second, or you can get a Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, who's another guy that brought in for a pre-draft visit, kind of a right tackle-specific player. Now, he started at left tackle his freshman year at Notre Dame and then got hurt, and that led Joe Alt to come in, and obviously now Joe Alt's the top tackle in the draft. But Fisher was starting ahead of him as a freshman at Notre Dame and had some really good things on tape there. So I would love if, you know, they take center there, and then maybe you take Fisher in the second or the third. He's definitely got to rising up boards. I think Jeremiah mentioned he couldn't maybe go in the second in his conference call yesterday. So it's definitely, yeah, I would be on board with the idea of taking Barton in the first, even though the positional value might say take an offensive tackle ahead of that. Center's a bigger need, and you risk missing out on one of the top centers if you don't take one there in the first round or make a big move to trade up in the second, which I think is going to be very difficult to do.
Yeah, agreed on that last point there. Graham Barton, I actually did a little study last week at one point, just looking at all of the starting centers in the NFL, where they were drafted, what position they played in college, and how long, if they didn't play the position they were drafted at, did it take for them to become a starter. And really the only example of a kind of week one or kind of rookie starter right away that played tackle in college and converted to center was Mitch Morse, another guy that the Steelers brought in free agency and were reportedly very interested in making something happen with him. So not a whole lot of kind of recent examples of that working out for year one. A lot of those guys who are conversion projects or prospects rather were maybe year two or year three they started to catch on. Now, a lot of those guys also weren't drafted in the first round, so we're talking about a different level of talent here, and Graham Barton certainly has the talent to be a first-round player. It's just a matter of the value, and is he going to be able to start right away for the Steelers? Those are questions that they need to have answered prior to making him their pick in the first round. Dulac also discussed the Steelers being after a veteran wide receiver. He said for months. I don't know what that really means because the season just ended 2 months ago. I don't know if they were the trade deadline had already obviously happened, so I don't know what. But his point is that the Steelers have been looking for a veteran wide receiver rather than just adding a wide receiver two via the draft. We've seen a little bit of that with Mike Williams, scheduled to have a visit. He never made it to Pittsburgh because he was signed by the Jets. They never let him leave town. They signed him. The Steelers reportedly had interest in Tyler Boyd at one point, but the price tag was, and these are all via reports, nothing official, but the price tag may have been too much there. Obviously, there's been some smoke on Brandon Ayuk and the possibility of a trade there. Dulac just yesterday confirmed that the Steelers have, in fact, reached out about that. The 49ers were not interested in dealing him, which is in line with what their general manager, John Lynch, said at the owners' meeting last month, that nothing's happening there. They are working towards a long-term deal. And so Dulac's point was that they have been looking for a veteran receiver for months, but it looks like they're going to have to settle for a rookie. Just because there aren't that many options out there. I think we talked a little bit about it last week. Cortland Sutton, the Denver Broncos receiver, he sat out of the voluntary offseason program stuff in Denver. He reportedly wants a new contract, so that could be kind of a emerging option for the Steelers. But until there's more kind of linking the two there, you know, I don't want to get too deep into that topic, but if the Steelers do go the route of a rookie, we're looking at the youngest or got to be at least one of the youngest wide receiver rooms in the NFL. Joe, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, missing out on a veteran receiver, I don't think is like a huge deal in terms of a Williams or a Boyd. With Williams, I think you still, with his injury history, I think receiver is still a need in the draft. Maybe it's on a second round need. Maybe you push it to the third or the fourth. And then obviously, you know, the talk that about doubling up that we talked about last week, and you don't need to double up if you sign a Mike Williams. With Boyd, He's 30. Production's been a little lower than expected the last few years. Obviously, a very loaded receiver room in Cincinnati. But even so, I think receiver's still second, third round need if you sign Tyler Boyd. So missing out on them isn't, I think, a huge deal. It's tough because it puts them in this position heading into the draft. You kind of really need to get a receiver probably in that second round. But you know, I think they're really going after impact guys. Like they're not they signed Van Jefferson, they signed Quez Watkins. Those guys are fine. They're great depth. They can do whatever. And if they even make the roster, the three of them, I think, and Calvin Austin the third are going to be fighting for two spots come training camp. But you know, Sutton would obviously be an impact guy. Uke's an impact guy. Williams is a step below that, but when he's healthy, he still can be an impact guy. So you know, Williams is kind of that free agent that I would have liked to bring in because receiver doesn't become as much of a need. But now I think you're in the position where you kind of have to draft a receiver. And they could, Boyd's still a free agent. They could, if they don't get somebody that they want or they don't double up and they still feel they need to add to the room, they could still circle back to Boyd after the draft. Maybe they free up some money, restructure, and they bump it up a little bit and give them, you know, maybe more guaranteed money in year one. You have a 2-year deal with, you know, higher guaranteed money in year one or something like that. I think there's a path for that to happen, although the interest in Boyd has seemingly waned over the last few weeks. But they're going to need a receiver one way or the other. So, yeah, it's tough they missed out on him. And I think Williams, when healthy, would have been a really nice addition, really nice, you know, opposite George Pickens. You have two big receivers. You can go up and get the ball. Russell Wilson wants to chuck it. Like, yeah, two options right there who are great. But it's no surprise that they had interest in those guys. No surprise that they didn't want to pony up and give them, you know, really solid money for what they've been the last few years. So now you're in the position where you have to take a receiver in the second round. And I think that's fine because I think it's a really deep receiver class and they're going to get, you know, a pretty talented player who can come in and be a day one playmaker and impact this team in a positive way.
Yeah, and for my money, if we're talking about bringing a veteran, I mean, Allen Robinson II is still out there on the market. He was a good blocker last year. People talked about him as being a leader. I think Calvin Austin pointed to him as somebody who kind of mentored him a little bit in that room. If they're going to have a young receiver group, then they need a veteran like this who can kind of help mentor. It seems like Allen Robinson makes a lot of sense. He's still out there. He's probably not going to be very expensive at this point in his career and after sitting on the free agent market this long. So I would look for him to circle back after the draft sometime. Maybe closer to training camp, even if he wants to wait and see if, you know, other developments shake out or around the league before signing somewhere. Well, I think that is all of our topics. We're going to move into our listener question here. We did receive several, so thank you to you guys who called that number at the bottom of the screen, 412-254-3145. Call to have your question answered in a future episode. We do only have time to answer one today, so we're going to just go with this one. I think next week for the draft, since a lot of these questions we've gotten aren't necessarily going to be relevant after the draft, we might do a special episode next week and knock out a bunch of these questions. So please do submit your draft questions, and we will likely get to them next week. Our first call here is from Arthur Morris. I'm going to play that voicemail.
Hi, this is Arthur Samuel Morris. I'm big time Steelers fan, big time Steelers Depot fan. I had a question. Would you prefer to trade up, pick up Steelers' original pick, or trade back and pick up later picks for this draft and or next draft? And what position would you pick? Personally, I would stay where I'm at or move back depending on what we could get, and I probably would go offensive line. Thanks and have a good one.
That is from Arthur Morris asking about if we would rather do a trade up or a trade back. Arthur, thank you for being our first caller. We do appreciate that. Joe, I'll let you start on this one.
Yeah, so I would much rather trade down than trade up. I think you can still get, you know, a pretty solid center. I would trade. I think Dallas at 25 is a threat to target a center, and the Lions at 29. I don't know what you could get to trade down because Dallas at 25, maybe a few picks, and you can still get your guy and add maybe an extra third, maybe an extra fourth. Give yourself another opportunity to hit on one of those defensive linemen, to hit on, you know, another cornerback or another offensive tackle option. Even so, I would be fine trading back behind Dallas and ahead of Detroit 26, 27, 28 with the Bills is a a spot that they could definitely do because the Bills need a receiver after trading Stephon Diggs. So move back to 28, jump ahead of Detroit, and then you can take a Zach Frazier in the first round. Now that he's kind of getting that buzz. Maybe Jackson Powers Johnson. I don't know if Barton would still be there, but you can still get, a guy that I think could come in and start at center. So that I would much rather be in favor of trading back than trading up and, adding to your arsenal in the third, fourth, and middle rounds and really adding as much depth and competition as possible.
I think I agree with your line of thinking there. I would say if they do trade back, I want every bit of what they receive to be in this year's draft. I don't want a situation where they're, maybe getting better value if you're looking at those draft value charts. They might be gaining some net value there, but some of it's next year. I don't want that. I want it to be all this year if in that scenario they have a lot of needs. They're kind of in a win now scenario with two quarterbacks on 1 year deals and all like that. So, I think trade up could be interesting if there's a guy like Fuaga or Latham, maybe in like the 16, 17 range. But that's kind of the only scenario I would personally want to trade up in the first round. I agree, trading back probably seems like the better option. Acquire more picks, give you more ammunition to move around in the second round, which is kind of that sweet spot for addressing a lot of these positions of need if necessary. That is our episode for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Depot Dive. Remember, please do give that phone number at the bottom of the screen a call, and we will catch you next time.